Good morning. KSL News Time is 5 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
The man accused of intentionally running over multiple people and driving off is now being investigated for another crash.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with details. Adam?
Amanda, authorities in Summit County have officially named On Pham as a suspect in a hit-and-run that happened on Sun Peak Drive and Bear Hollow Drive in Park City that sent one woman to the hospital in early March. Pham is already facing multiple charges of attempted murder in 4 hit-and-run cases in the Salt Lake Valley. And on top of that, Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill tells KSL TV he is now screening charges for 2 other incidents that KSL has helped identify. One of those happened in the avenues near T Street in mid-March. One happened a little over a week before that, 1300 East and 900 South. We continue to bring you updates on this case throughout the morning. Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Fatal car crashes are up in construction zones nationwide, but a new study says Utah's number 3 in the country. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston joins us live with the details. Peter?
Tim, the only 2 states with a higher proportion of fatal car crashes being in construction zones are Texas and Nebraska. That's according to a review of 10 years of crash data by LendingTree. 3.3% of fatal car crashes in Utah happen in these construction zones, and the study finds most of the people killed in these areas are drivers and their passengers. In real numbers, this state saw just under 80 fatal car wrecks between 2012 and 2021 in these work zones. LendingTree points to a few key safety tips from the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. First, always avoid texting and driving. Slow down when you see road workers. And finally, keep an eye out for signs and instructions. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
4 people are recovering in the hospital after a multi-vehicle crash involving a semi-truck on US 6. The driver of the semi is in critical condition. The highway was blocked for several hours. This comes just one day after a 6-year-old girl was killed on the highway.
KSL's top national stories this hour. The IDF says the largest number of humanitarian aid trucks since the beginning of the war entered the Gaza Strip this week. Many are worried that the pause in fighting in southern Gaza may be laying the groundwork for military action in Rafah. ABC's Britt Clement has more now from Israel.
Gaza's second largest city now unrecognizable. After months of Israeli bombardment, residents returning to the destruction after the IDF withdrew all its combat units from Khan Yunis. Palestinians describing the trail of devastation left behind. Homes crushed and burned, overturned cars and trucks littering what used to be streets. This woman says her house is now a mountain of debris. Despite pulling ground forces from southern Gaza, the Israeli military saying this war is not over.
More than 400 trucks made their way into the area.
Family members of hostages held by Hamas got a private audience with the Pope this week. One of them, Ashley Waxman Bakshi, said the Pope was warm and welcoming and even used the word evil to describe the terrorist organization.
He is working in his own channels to help with releasing the hostages, and that he is committed to it. And he called Hamas evil, which they are.
That meeting took place yesterday at the Vatican.
A Utahn who lost his hands in an electrical accident visited Ukraine to help wounded soldiers adapt to their prosthetics. Sam Batangi tells KSL TV the invasion has taken a terrible toll.
There's been 20,000 brand new amputees since the start of the war.
Batangi says he was able to find some success stories only 5 days into his trip.
An Idaho man is in custody, accused of planning a suicide attack in the name of ISIS. The FBI arrested 18-year-old Alexander Scott Mercurio on Monday.
Investigators believe Mercurio may have been motivated by the attack last month in Russia, where an ISIS group took responsibility for killing 144 people at a concert hall complex near Moscow. Mercurio is currently in custody awaiting his initial court appearance. He faces a maximum of 20 years in federal prison if convicted.
That's ABC's Christiane Cordero reporting.
Time for our first look at First Look Traffic. Andy Farnsworth, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. We start off in good shape on our roadways. No crashes to pass along at this point. In fact, not a lot of heavy traffic to deal with either, and not seeing any windy conditions or weather conditions affecting you either so far. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Opening arguments for the trial of Chad Daybell will begin tomorrow. KSL TV's Debbie Worthen has more now that the jury has been selected.
According to KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas, yesterday some jurors may actually decide how they really feel about Chad Daybell and the crimes he's charged with. Tonight, those 10 men and 8 women go to bed knowing that they will spend what's expected to be the next few months with a man's life in their hands.
Daybell is accused of murdering the two children of his wife, Lori Vallow Daybell, and his late wife, Tammy Daybell. KSL News Radio's Adam Small is in Boise preparing to cover that trial alongside KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas. Come back to Utah's Morning News tomorrow for the latest from Boise. You can also follow our complete trial coverage at KSLNewsRadio.com.
A man from Provo had the idea to collect used eclipse glasses, and his effort went viral. Roger Sarkis tells KSL TV his side business got thousands of emails on eclipse day alone.
MasterCard, the Department of Veterans Affairs, multiple universities, hospitals. In fact, today I reached out to the Hawaii Department of Education.
Sarkis is planning on sending those used glasses to underserved communities and schools in Hawaii and Latin America for the next solar eclipse in October.
Many states, including Utah, are exploring the benefits of virtual power plants. If you haven't heard of them, KSL News Radio's Eric Cabrera explains.
Residents and businesses who have solar panels installed can opt into Rocky Mountain Power's WattSmart battery program. The energy that's stored on those batteries can then be used to balance flows on their grid and draw power for their home or office in emergency situations. According to Jonna Whitesides with Rocky Mountain Power, there are roughly 4,000 batteries in Utah being fed by about 70,000 customers.
And then essentially what Rocky Mountain Power does is we utilize those batteries every day rather than ramping up generation on a thermal plant.
This is especially useful during peak hours and higher demand seasons like summer. And companies like Rocky Mountain Power look forward to new solutions. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.